Praise the Lord. Isn't it awesome to be here in the presence of the Lord?
Yeah.
Are you excited that you're here in the presence of the Lord?
Yeah.
Hallelujah. If you couldn't figure out why you're here, why you should be excited, you're in the presence of the Lord. If that doesn't get us excited, I don't know what will. Amen. The title of the message this morning is, if you don't quit, you can't fail. If you don't quit, you can't fail. Amen. Who knows that Pentecostals and Charismatics have tended to place a greater emphasis on the gifts of the Holy Spirit, whereas the non-Pentecostal Charismatics have been more liable to promote the fruit of the Holy Spirit, and some even advocating that the supernatural gifts of the Holy Spirit ceased with the death of the first apostles. That's a very big doctrine amongst a lot of evangelical Christians. But you know, the reality is that it was never supposed to be an either-or situation. I've even heard some folks say things like, you know, the greatest gift is love. And that's not actually scriptural. It might sound good, but it's not actually scriptural. The greatest gift of love is Jesus, who came down, according to James, from the Father, who is the giver of every good and perfect gift. God so loved the world that he
gave.
So it's never meant to be an either-or situation. Not supposed to be about setting the gifts against the fruit. And in fact, as I mentioned earlier, I was reading Leviticus chapter 8 this morning, where Moses has followed through on God's instructions and consecrating Aaron and his sons as the priesthood. And one of the things he did is, one of the sacrifices, he took the blood of that sacrifice and he put some of it on Aaron's right ear, the tip of his right ear, on the tip of his right thumb, on the tip of his big toe, and then he did this big toe. Must have been a good offering that day. Oh, come on. The tip of his big toe, and then he did the same with his sons as he was consecrating them for the priesthood. And as I was driving over this morning, I was just thinking about that and meditating on that. And that was my own personal kind of devotion this morning. It was there in Leviticus chapter 8. And I was just meditating on that as I'm driving over this morning, thinking, why the tip of his right ear, why his thumb, why his big toe? And this is what just came to me very quickly as I was meditating. I had some good worship music going. I was just meditating on the Lord and on his word and asking and fellowshipping with him. And this is what came to me. And it was that, you know, well, it's so important that we have an ear to hear what the Holy Spirit is saying, isn't it? That our ear is consecrated to hear what is coming, the voice, the word that's coming from heaven. And also, it's important that we hold on to what God has said. You know, without your thumb, your thumb is essential for holding on to something. It's very hard to grip something with your other four fingers. I mean, it's great to have these other four fingers, but without your thumb seals the deal when it comes to holding on to something. So it's not only important to hear what God has said, it's important to hold on to what He said. And then, you know that your big toe is very important for balance. If you lose your big toe, it's very hard to stay balanced. And in everything that God has given and everything that God has said, it's so important as His representatives that we maintain balance in all things. Amen. So there's an important balance that we must maintain between the gifts and the fruit along with everything else. Amen. Hallelujah. So that's just a wee bonus for this one, okay. You see, the truth is that the gifts and the fruit are from one and the same Holy Spirit. And so they're actually designed to work in tandem. According to 1 Corinthians chapter 13, the gifts of the Holy Spirit are pretty much ineffective without love, but love is a fruit of the Holy Spirit. The gifts of the Holy Spirit, they fuel your charisma. The fruit of the Holy Spirit fuel your character. The gifts of the Holy Spirit fuel your charisma. The fruit of the Holy Spirit fuel your character. And it's important to maintain the balance, as it's been known for people to attempt to keep going on charisma when they've run out of character. Mm-hmm. And that will always end in a fall or in a failure. Mm-hmm. Always. When people try to keep running on charisma, when they run out of character, they will always end up in a fall or a failure. When you hear of someone in ministry having a fall or a failure, you can guarantee they've tried to keep going in charisma when they run out of character. See, if I don't quit, I can't fail. From that person next to you, encourage them. See, if you don't quit, you can't fail. I'll take it. Hallelujah. If you're on the front row, just look at the preachers. Hallelujah. I believe that 1 Corinthians 13 is one of the most misunderstood portions of scripture that there is. You know, for example, when it says, though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not love, it says I am a sounding brass and tinkling cymbal. It says that in the old King James Version. That's not supposed to be a put down on tongues and a promoter of love as some kind of superior substitute. You see, love is the motivation for tongues. Love is the motivation for praying in the Spirit. Just as love is the motivation for submitting to and flowing with every action of the Holy Spirit in our lives. Amen. Faith works through love. Faith is energized and expressed and put to work through love, it says in Galatians. Hallelujah. Love is the motivation, the gifts of the Holy Spirit, the fruit of the Holy Spirit. They're the manifestation of the life of the one Holy Spirit. And so it makes sense that they function and that they operate in tandem with one another. So what are the gifts of the Holy Spirit? Well, there's basically, I know there's maybe more than this and people add to this list, but there's at least nine, and you can separate even the nine into groups of three. And so let me just do that for you this morning. The gifts of the Holy Spirit, there's the gifts of inspiration. The gifts of inspiration are gifts that say something. Prophecy, tongues, interpretation of tongues, gifts that say. Gifts of revelation, gifts that reveal something, gifts that know, word of wisdom, word of knowledge, discerning of spirits. I know people like to talk about, I've got the gift of discernment, when they're really, they've just got the gift of judgment. But this, you need to understand, that's not what the Bible says. It says the discerning of spirits, being able to understand what's working in this situation, what spirit is working behind this. The power gifts, the gifts of demonstration. So you have the gifts of inspiration, revelation, and gifts of demonstration, the power gifts, gifts that do something. Faith, healing, and miracles. So the gifts and the fruit, they should never be played off against one another, but they should always show up together to complement one another. Galatians 5 verses 22 to 23 says, but the Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives. Love and joy and peace and patience and kindness and goodness and faithfulness, gentleness and self-control. There is no law against these things. The fruit of the Holy Spirit, again, there's nine fruit there. Listed, and you can split them again into groups of three. The fruit of the emotions, love, joy, and peace. The fruit of relationships, patience, kindness, and goodness. The fruit of attitude, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. But in this message, I want us to focus, in fact, the subtitle of this message, remember what's the title? If you don't quit, you can't fail. The subtitle of this message this morning is One of Your Nine a Day. I thought it was only five a day. Well, they've increased it to seven, by the way. I don't know if any of you ever managed to accomplish that. I know Sandra does her best. But in this message, I want to focus on one particular manifestation of the Holy Spirit and how it impacts what our lives and how it can connect us with the power gifts of the Holy Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit is patience, long-suffering, forbearance. This one fruit, let me give you some elements of how this fruit works in your life, or how it, let these words help describe its impact, its power in your life. The fruit of the Spirit is patience, long-suffering, forbearance, perseverance, persistence, tenacity, determination, staying power, steadfastness, purposefulness, endurance, application, diligence, dedication, commitment, doggedness, tirelessness, stamina, intransigence, obstinacy. I know I've said this many times before, but I have one tattoo. I'm afraid I can't show you. It's not because it's in a naughty place or anything. It's on my spirit. But I can guarantee you I have a tattoo down there on my spirit. It's two words. It says, don't quit. Don't quit. Well, as Winston Churchill said, never, never, never give up. I remember the first time Alan Robertson and Nan Robertson were here. They came with Kathy Walters on a tour. We were back in our old Graham days, I think it was. And he didn't know about my tattoo. And afterwards he came up to me at the end of the meeting. He said, God's given me a word for you. He said, never, never, never give up. Hallelujah. And of course a great friendship has come out of that first encounter back then. A long lasting, enduring friendship. Hallelujah. See, if I don't quit, I can't fail. If I don't quit, I said to him, I said, because I remember years and years ago, I remember there was a, we were part of the Highland, if I can't remember what it was called now, the Highland Network. and some of them had a great idea of starting a network magazine. And so one of the guys who was doing that, putting it all together, decided that they would get in touch with all the different leaders of the different churches in the network and ask them, you know, what their kind of motto was, what their personal motto was. And I said to Katrina, what should I say? She said, well, don't quit. Don't quit. She recognised I'd never said it. I'd never put that's way back before I'd ever put it. Recognised these were the words that tattoo contained. Before I knew there was a tattoo. Don't quit. She said, don't quit. That's your motto. Don't quit. Because if you don't quit, you can't fail. Never, never, never give up. Hebrews chapter 6. See, if I don't quit, I can't fail. Come on, this is for you. If I don't quit, I can't fail. Hebrews 6, verse 11, and we desire that each one of you show the same diligence to the full assurance of hope until the end. I'm inviting you all. You need this same tattoo. You know, there's different groups and there's been all kinds of, and they all get the same tattoo because it identifies them as part of the group. Wherever they go, they see that tattoo, they know that person's a part of this group. Well, we need to have this tattoo, don't quit, down there, imprinted on our spirit. We desire that each one of you show the same diligence to the full assurance of hope until the end, that you do not become sluggish, but imitate those who through faith and patience inherit the promises. And the Amplified, it puts it this way, but we do strongly and earnestly desire for each of you to show the same diligence and sincerity all the way through in realizing and enjoying the full assurance and development of your hope until the end, in order that you may not grow disinterested and become spiritual sluggards, but imitators, behaving as do those who through faith, by their leaning of the entire personality on God, in Christ, in absolute trust and confidence in His power, wisdom and goodness, and by patience and patient endurance and waiting, are now inheriting the promises. Hallelujah. What a mouthful, but it says a lot, isn't it? It's through faith and patience. It's through faith and long-suffering, forbearance, perseverance, persistence, tenacity, determination, staying power, steadfastness, purposefulness, endurance, application, diligence, dedication, commitment, doggedness, tirelessness, stamina, intransigence, obstinacy, that we inherit the promises, that we take possession of what God has promised. Aren't you glad this morning that's a fruit of the Holy Spirit? See, if I don't quit, I can't fail. And the awesomeness of this message that we carry is that God never asks you to do anything that He hasn't supplied more than enough of what you need to get it done. This is a fruit of the Holy Spirit. Here's some quotes for you regarding perseverance. Nothing in the world can take the place of persistence. Talent will not. Nothing is more common than unsuccessful men with talent. Genius will not. Unrewarded genius is almost a proverb. Education will not. The world is full of educated derelicts. Persistence and determination alone are omnipotent. The slogan, press on, has solved and always will solve the problems of the human race. What was it Paul said? Leaving what is behind, I press on. Here's another quote for you. When you get into a tight place and everything goes against you until it seems as if you couldn't hold on a minute longer, never give up then, for that's just the place and time that the tide will turn. Here's another one. A failure is not always a mistake. It may simply be the best that one can do under the circumstances. The real mistake is to stop trying. Here's another one. Great works are performed not by strength, but by perseverance. Another one. Through perseverance, many people win success out of what seemed destined to be certain failure.
Yeah.
Like it was Martin Luther King that said this, if you can't fly, and it kind of fits with that video clip we watched, if you can't fly, then run. If you can't run, then walk. If you can't walk, then crawl. But whatever you do, you have to keep moving forward. Man, I like that. Another quote says, it does not matter how slowly you go, as long as you do not stop.
Yeah.
Take encouragement here this morning. See, if I don't quit, I can't fail. See, well, is that not just worldly wisdom? No, that's people who've tapped into the wisdom of God and they just put it in worldly words. Come on, someone. In other words. Apparently, the concept of the marathon, that race that we call a marathon, it comes from the legend of a guy called, and I don't know if I'm getting his name right or not, Pheidippides or something like that. Cool name anyway. And he was a Greek messenger who was sent from the Battle of Marathon to Athens, 26 miles away. And he was sent to inform the Greeks that the Persians had been defeated. And the legend has it that this P-word fella, that he ran the entire 26 miles without stopping. And after delivering his message, he collapsed and died. Now, whether that's fact or whether that's legend, the marathon is still very much with us in our modern world. You know, in the United States, there's actually an annual marathon report. And according to last year's report, the 2016 report, there was a total of 507,600, that's more than 500,000 people who finished a marathon. Who finished a marathon in a total of 1,100 marathons that were held in the US that last year. So 507,600 people were classified as finishers. In other words, 500,000 people, over 500,000 people who started a marathon in America last year actually completed it. And so you could say basically that a very simple principle that applies to completing a marathon is that anyone who wants to start and finish a marathon must have what it takes to stay the course. See, if I don't quit, I can't fail. If I don't quit, I can't fail. Remember, we're here to encourage one another. So turn that person. See, if you don't quit, you can't fail. Now, only one person can win the race. But in a marathon, everyone who completes the race gets a medal. Everyone who completes the race gets an acknowledgement of their endurance, of their stamina, even ones who take a day and a half to do it. We're in some crazy costume or other. Was it one fellow, the last, was it London Marathon, did it on his hands and knees all the way, didn't he? But they get an acknowledgement of their endurance, of their stamina, of their persistence, and of their perseverance. It's through faith and makrothumia, that's the Greek word. Patience, endurance, constancy, steadfastness, perseverance, that we inherit the promises. 1 Corinthians chapter 9 verse 24. Do you not know that those who run in a race all run, but one receives the prize? Run in such a way that you may obtain it. And everyone who competes for the prize is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a perishable crown, but we for an imperishable crown. Who knows, Jesus was first over the line in this race that we have entered into.
Yeah.
but we can all be partakers of the prize.
Yeah.
Jesus was first over the line in this race that we have entered into, but we can all be partakers of the prize. Philippians chapter 3, verse 12, Paul says, "Not that I have already attained, or I'm already perfected, but I press on, that I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus has also laid hold of me. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, and reaching forward to those things which are ahead, I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus." What prize? The prize that's awarded to finishers. Was it saying in Hebrews 12, looking unto Jesus? I'll get that in a minute. In 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 7, Paul could testify at the end of his life, this was his testimony, "I have fought the good fight, I have finished the race, I have kept the faith." Hebrews 12:1, "Therefore we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses," such a great cloud of finishers, "let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus." See, if I don't quit, I can't fail. If I don't quit, I can't fails. You know, it's my belief, folks, that we have often, too often, given up on some things too quickly. And because of that, we have missed the opportunity to receive the promise of God. I want to tell you, there's not one situation or circumstance that you will encounter or face in your life that does not have a promise of God attached to it.
Yeah.
We've hit what marathon runners call the wall. And instead of pressing on at that point and breaking through, we've given up. You know, they say the wall, this, what the marathon runners call the wall, it's usually encountered after around 20 miles. And a lot of people actually say that they judge that point to be the halfway point of the race. Although they're 3/4 of the way through, almost. And hitting the wall, it's a condition of sudden fatigue and loss of energy, which is caused by, apparently, by the depletion of glycogen, or the glycogen stores in the liver and the muscles. It's like the body has run out of fuel or accessible fuel, and that forces the runner to slow down almost to a halt, or even to a halt. And all of a sudden, the runner feels like they're going nowhere. Any identify with this? Come on, I'm bringing you something. Hallelujah. And so it's a massive psychological letdown, because it's like they feel powerless and as if they can't will themselves just to run any faster. It's like, how many times have you faced something that's felt like that? You know, of the hundreds of thousands of people who run a marathon every year, more than 40% of them hit that wall. It's not a real wall, but it's very real. And 1-2% of them drop out at that point. Now, not everybody who starts a marathon finishes it, but those who've come that far, think about it, you've covered over 20 miles. Anybody ever run a marathon? There you go, you know what we're talking about. You've covered over 20 miles, and there's only 6 to go, and yet, all of a sudden, you're in a mental fog as your physical strength feels as if it's completely sapped. I want to tell you, folks, there's a very powerful spiritual analogy here.
Mm-hmm.
For people who are believing God, and I believe this room is full of people this morning who are believing God for the fulfillment of visions and dreams, for the fulfillment or the full manifestation of healing or the provision that God promises, that God's word promises. See, if I don't quit, I can't fail. Come on, see, if I don't quit, I can't fail. Get it out there. If I don't quit, I can't fail. See, I believe we've given up on commitments, we've given up on prayers, we've given up on faith stands, on dreams, on visions. hit the wall. I don't know what you think or what you don't think about Mark out there at the roundabout every Sunday morning with his t-shirt that says God hates divorce. But somebody told me he broke his ankle, but he's back here this morning with a crutch. I wondered as I was coming on the move, I thought, I wonder if Mark will be there today, and there he was with a crutch. Oh, give him a flash, he gives away, God hates divorce. I guess he ain't hit the wall yet. Or if he has, he's got over it. He probably felt like he'd hit the wall when he hit the floor and something. Well, that's it. Now he won't be going out there this Sunday. No, he was there. I believe we've given up too quickly on things because we hit the wall. Our reliance upon the fruit of the Holy Spirit has depleted because we were looking too much to the gift to get us through. Remember, if you depend on charisma to the neglect of character, you're heading for a fall or a failure. See, if I don't quit, I can't fail. Like it was Edison, he said, I haven't failed 1,000 times. I've just discovered 1,000 things that don't, ways that don't work. See, if I don't quit, I can't fail. So this morning, I want us to look at one woman in Scripture this morning. One woman who through faith and patient and persistent perseverance received the reward of those who diligently and persistently and obstinately and steadfastly seek the Lord and the promise of his provision. Mark chapter 5, verse 24. So Jesus went with him. This was a man who'd come to Jesus, said his daughter was sick. Could he come and help her? And as he's making his way, Jesus going with this man, a great multitude followed him and thronged him. If you've ever been in a busy city street on a Saturday at the January sales, you know. Or the Boxing Day sales, you know what that's like, being thronged. If you've been at a football game, if you've been at a cup final, you know what it's like to be thronged. Come on, somebody. Mm-hmm. You know what it's like to be part of a throng. You're not careful, you'll go somewhere you didn't want to go because that's where everybody else is going. It says in verse 25, now a certain woman had a flow of blood for 12 years and had suffered many things from many physicians. She had spent all that she had and was no better, but rather grew worse. Verse 27, when she heard about Jesus, she came behind him in the crowd and touched his garment. For she said, if only I may touch his clothes, I shall be made well. And immediately the fountain of her blood was dried up and she felt in her body that she was healed of the affliction. And Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that power had gone out of him, turned around in the crowd and said, who touched my clothes? Who touched me? And his disciples said to him, what you'd have said to him if you'd been there, and what I'd have said to him if I'd been there. You see the multitude thronging you. And you ask us, who touched me? And he looked around to see her who had done this thing. But the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what had happened to her, came and fell down before him and told him the whole truth. And he said to her, daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace and be healed of your affliction. Your faith has made you whole. Go in peace and be healed. Go in shalom and be healed of your affliction. I hope for many, many years as I've thought about this woman, this lady, I've always had an image of her on her hands and knees. Maybe even eventually on her face, just reaching out to touch Jesus, knowing that if she could just touch the hem of his garment, she would be healed. You see, her journey in pursuit of healing had covered many years, had endured many disappointments. I want you to hear this morning. I want you to take courage this morning. I want you to speak out this morning. If I don't quit, I can't fail. See, this lady, she'd run a virtual marathon in pursuit of her healing. But she had persistently persevered and she'd broken through every wall, refusing to accept her condition as final. more somebody. And when she heard about, I'm sure there was plenty of people getting alongside her saying, oh, come on now. No. When she heard about Jesus, something ignited within her. And she knew that if she could just reach him, she would finally be healed of her affliction. You see, how much you really want something will ultimately determine your response to every apparent setback. I said, how much you really want something. How much you really want something will determine your response to every apparent setback. There's some things you think you want, and there's some things you really want. I said, there's some things you think you want, and there's some things that you really want. And your response and your reaction to every apparent setback will determine that which you really want.
Yeah.
We'll separate that from what you really want from that which you think you want. Here's some more quotes on perseverance. The real glory is being knocked to your knees and then coming back.
Yeah.
That's real glory. That's the essence of it. Success is the child of drudgery and perseverance. It cannot be coaxed or bribed. Pay the price, and it is yours. Here's another one. Courage doesn't always roar. Sometimes it's the quiet voice at the end of the day whispering, I will try again tomorrow.
Yeah.
Here's another one. You may encounter many defeats, but you must not be defeated. In fact, it may be necessary to encounter the defeat so that you can know who you are, what you can rise from, and how you can still come out of it.
Mm-hmm.
See, if I don't quit,
I
can't fail. I don't quit. I can't fail. I was meditating this message, you know. And I just came up with this little phrase. I may have said something similar in the past, but this is what I came up with. If you see what you see, you will see what you see. It's a principle. It's a kingdom principle. It's not a very popular principle, even amongst church folks, but it's an absolute principle. If you see what you see, you will see what you see. In verse 27 of Mark chapter 5, in the Amplified Bible, it says, she had heard, concerning this lady, she had heard the reports concerning Jesus, and she came up behind him in the throng and touched his garment, for she kept saying, if I only touch his garments, I shall be restored to health. This lady who had patiently persevered through so much disappointment, she saw herself healed. And so she said and kept on saying.
Yeah.
I said she saw herself healed. She saw the result of her faith. Because faith is the substance of things hoped for. It's the evidence that you hold in your hand of that which you cannot see naturally, but you can see in the spirit. If I can just touch, she kept on saying. She said, and she kept on saying, if I can just touch his garments, I know I will be healed. I know if I don't quit, I can't fail. She'd heard that Jesus healed the sick, and what she heard activated her faith, just like it's designed to do. And it connected her with the Holy Spirit, who comes to confirm the word with the accompanying signs. This lady was operating in the fruit of the Holy Spirit, perseverance, that would connect her with a power gift of the Holy Spirit, healing. Come on, somebody. When you take hold of God's word, God's Spirit comes immediately to help you, to empower you, to equip you. When you say, I believe, when you hear something, you say, I believe, the Holy Spirit comes immediately to empower you and equip you to see that thing all the way through to its fulfillment. Because every time there's a fulfillment, there's a manifestation of God's glory. There's a testimony to the goodness and the faithfulness of God. To the power of God over every negative circumstance and situation that anyone can ever face in this world. Somebody help me. If I can but touch the hem of his garment. If I can but touch some part of his clothes, I know I'll be healed. My sins all forgiven. If I can but touch him, I know I'll be whole. Hallelujah. We used to sing that with gusto. I still sing it a lot. Hallelujah. If you see what you see, you will see what you see, and you will keep on saying what you see until you see it. Until you see it in glorious manifestation. I don't have many people, times people say to me, Donnie Stewart, you just sound like a broken record. I said, you just wait till this broken record gets healed, brother.
Oh, yeah.
Come on! I don't know how many times I've heard that from Christians. Donnie Stewart, you just sound like a broken record. That's because this broken record is going to be a healed record. I got revelation on how to get a broken record healed. Come on! Somebody got them dancing with me or something. Hallelujah. As we just bring this, we're at the 20-mile point. I want to give you three simple steps. Three simple steps to receiving from the fullness of God's provision. By striving! No, by simply flowing with the fruit of the Holy Spirit that connects you with the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Number one, first step, press on. Turn that person out and say, press on. Tell them if you don't quit, you can't fail. Well, you would think, wouldn't you, that after 12 years and countless disappointments, that this woman would have learned to live with her condition. Come on. But no, she kept pressing on, even though she appeared to be getting worse. Yeah. Even though she appeared to be further away from what she was believing for. She pressed on. Let's get things straight here, folks. This lady's affliction didn't just affect her physically. This condition that she suffered from, it made her religiously unclean. She was considered a social outcast. Persona non grata. There's the door. Makasho. That's a message in tongues. If you don't know what it means, you've never had a Gaelic speaking dog. It means get out of here. I was talking to a couple of guys about Friday there. We're talking about Donald John Trump. Someone said, man, it's amazing. Everything's just coming against him. Can you imagine what that's like? I said, I know a little bit of what it's like. He looked at me, I said, because I know what it's like to try and plant a Pentecostal church on this island. So I know a little bit of what it's like. I mean, he's got the whole world, but I know a little bit of what it's like. Oh, hallelujah. This lady's affliction didn't just affect her physically, it made her religiously unclean. An outcast. Because of her condition, she wasn't allowed into the temple. She wasn't even allowed to touch another person. She wasn't supposed to sit where someone else might come and sit after her. This woman, she could have felt cut off from God and from man. Even the doctors offered her no hope. But hey, she hears something. Jesus has come. Today. And here she is. Somewhere that culturally she has no right to be. Religiously she has no right to be among a crowd of people. So she has to press on past people's prejudices, past their opinions, past their judgments. She has to press on even through her own weakness because she's losing blood. Who knows that the life is in the blood? When you're losing blood, it creates a weakness. She has to press on through that. God spoke to me many years ago. He said, break. You need to encourage people. They need to break out of the cultural mores or mores, the essential or the characteristic customs and conventions of a community if they're going to break into the more of God. The people of this island need to break out of the cultural limitations. The religious people in this island need to break out of the religious traditional limitations. The mores, those that have been set in stone, this is the way we do things around here. You've got to break out of that! If you're going to get into the more of God, you can talk about it all you like, but you'll never break into it until you break out of what's holding you back. Come on, someone. You're always going to encounter a wall. What are you going to do when you hit the wall? Give up or quit? No, I don't quit. I can't feel. Say it, come on. I don't quit. I can't feel. Step number one, press on. Step number two, persistently proclaim. Persistently proclaim. She said and she kept on saying, if I can just touch his garments, I know I will be healed. You might sound like a broken record, but you're going to be the first healed record in town. Come on, somebody. Hallelujah. You know, one of the tips recommended for marathon runners to break through the wall is to employ self-talk. Or to have a mantra. Lorraine knows about this when she's on her bike. Or to have a mantra that they repeat over and over, especially in the last part of the race. I can't believe it. Well, I didn't believe it. In fact, I rejoice in it, and I love it when it happens, when the song's coming. When we started singing, let the weak say, I am strong, I thought, yes, because that's a kingdom principle. Yeah. But these people and these marathon runners and these and long-distance cycling and all these different sports, endurance sports, what they've been taught to employ in self-talk or to have a mantra, it's a kingdom principle. Yeah. Let the weak say, I am strong. We were singing that this morning. I said, yes. This lady, she had a mantra of her own. She kept saying, if I can just touch his garment, I know. That's the Navy's bit. If I can just touch, if I can just make a connection here, I know I will be healed. Romans 10, verse 10, it says, it's by believing in your heart. If you're ever trying to get John 10:10 to work, then get a hold of Romans 10:10. This tells you how it works. Jesus throws something out there and everybody goes, oh yeah, I fancy something like that, man. I don't know how to get it, but this is how it works. I just read the Gospels, and you need to read everything. Paul tells you how it works. Yeah. Doctrines are doing work. Tells you how to do it. How to work. How it works. It is by believing in your heart that you are made right with God. And it is by confessing with your mouth that you are saved and that you are healed. That's the Greek word sozo, means healed, delivered, made whole. Hallelujah. See, if I don't quit, I can't feel. Step number one, press on. Step number two, persistently proclaim God's word over your situation. Step number three, pull on the anointing. Press on, persistently proclaim, and pull on the anointing. She pressed, this woman, she pressed on through all of the obstacles. She persistently proclaimed the goal of her faith, and then she pulled on the anointing that was upon Jesus. According to Acts 10:38, to do good and to heal all who were oppressed by the devil. Come on, somebody. Yeah. It says in verse 30, and Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that power had gone out of him, turned around in the crowd and said, one of the most ridiculous questions that anybody had ever heard, who touched me? Who touched my clothes? It was almost, some people think that's as much of a fairy tale as Goldilocks. Baby bear, who touched my clothes? Who touched my clothes? Who touched my clothes? Jesus knew that someone had pulled on the anointing. He felt power go out from him. Knowing immediately in himself that power had gone out. Who touched me? Who touched my clothes? Now we can go into all of the stuff, but we won't go into all the stuff because we're just... Even though he was surrounded by a crowd of people who were pushing up against him, thronging him, only one pulled on the anointing that was upon him to heal. That's pretty tragic, by the way, but that's the way it was. You see, you can be in a meeting just like this. You can be surrounded by people who are either unaware or who are uninterested in what's hearing about what's available to them or knowing about what's available to them. And you can be the one person in that meeting who pulls on the anointing and receives what you need. And you can walk out the door saying, I got what I came for. And then everybody else is going, that was a long sermon to hear, I love it. But you walk out that door and you say, yes, I heard from heaven. I got what I was believing for. I got my answer. I got encouragement either. I just need to keep on keeping on. Come on, somebody. I just need to keep pressing on. Come on. I just need to keep going with what everybody else thinks is a broken record, and I know I will be healed. Oh, hallelujah. Because I pulled on the anointing. I've seen this happen many times as a preacher. You can be speaking to a bunch of people and you know there's nobody pulling on the anointing. But then you feel something. That's when you go your extra 10 minutes. Everybody says, why did he say he was going to stop and he kept on going? I was watching a guy yesterday, I was just doing something, and I thought, I barely really watch God channels, but I put it on yesterday, there was a guy in Times Square Church, and man, he said, I'll just close with this, and he went another 15 minutes, and I'm glad he did. And I was just thinking about that this night, I thought, why does that happen? Because someone started pulling on what he was saying. Everybody else went, did you hear that? 15 minutes ago he said he was done and he just kept on going. But somebody walked in there going, yes, if he hadn't kept on going, I wouldn't have got my... Just one person pulling on the anointing. You feel power, you start to feel power going out. Man, you've been watching the clock the same as everybody else. You're ready for a cup of tea just like everybody else. But no, somebody starts pulling it. One of the saddest accounts in the Gospels is in Luke chapter 5, where it says that there were Pharisees and teachers of the law all gathered round listening to Jesus teach. You know what it says? Why does it say it? Because it's conveying a message to us. It says the power of the Lord was present to heal them. Oh my Shagabana. And yet there's no record of any of them pulling on that anointing that was upon him. What a waste of time. I tell you, people who act that way and think that way, church is a waste of time for them. It is, it really is. They don't understand the purpose. If you miss the purpose, you miss everything. The good news is, later on in that same meeting, there were some men who brought their paralyzed friend on a stretcher because they'd heard that Jesus could do something for paralyzed people. And they brought their friend on a stretcher to the house where Jesus was teaching. But you know what they encountered after carrying him all that way? They saw a wall. And the message was, you can't get past this wall. Oh, well, may as well go home here. So much for that. 20 miles we carried that boy today. What a waste of time that was. No. They saw a wall. And then they saw a roof. If people presented them with a way out. But no, they weren't there for a way out, they were there for a way in. Do you know how many times I've seen people? Oh, this is flowing right now. Oh, yeah, man, I can just feel this coming down. Oh, man, there's some insight for you here. Do you know how many times I've seen people who are on the verge of a breakthrough and some mealy-mouthed Christian came along and supplied them with a way out. And all the time God had a way in. I've wept many times, I'll tell you folks. I have wept. My heart has been broken over and over again as I've seen Christians who are out of the Spirit, totally out of the Spirit, walking along and supplying people with a way out when all that God had for them was a way in. Well, they never went looking for a way out, folks. No, they were looking for a way out, and they found it. They went up on the roof. And they broke through the wall. Kobo Shaka Basaka. They broke through and they lowered their friend right down there to where Jesus was. Yeah. And it says, when Jesus saw their faith. Mm-hmm. Do you think on that journey carrying that guy, they weren't ready to get up a few times? No, we can just get him to Jesus. We can just get him to Jesus. They just kept on saying, we can just get him to Jesus. They hit the wall and they saw the roof. They saw beyond the obstacle to the fulfillment of their faith. And it says, when Jesus saw their faith. I didn't make this up. somebody else didn't, no, 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 some preacher, some prosperity preacher didn't say this. No, it says when Jesus saw their faith, he turned to the paralyzed man and said to him, one of the most radical statements ever spoken to anybody in any kind of religious gathering, your sins are forgiven you. You know what that did? Kick off a celebration. No, kick off a rammy, that's what it kicked off. The religious leaders who could have been healed themselves. Hear this, please. They could have been healed themselves. Maybe some of them have been struggling with things for years, putting up with it. The power of the Lord was present. They healed them, and not one of them got healed. No, what did they do? Instead, they start accusing Jesus of blaspheming. Sound familiar? It sounds familiar to you if you've been pressing on persistently proclaiming. You've heard that stuff from people who should know better. Come on now. These friends of the paralyzed man, they'd followed the same three simple steps as the hemorrhaging woman. They pressed on, they proclaimed, persistently proclaimed, and now they are pulling on the anointing. Listen to how Jesus addresses this woman. The woman that back there in Matthew chapter 5. He says to her daughter. He says to a social outcast. Someone that religion has excluded from the temple. And he turns to her and he says to her, daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace. And be healed. Your affliction. You know, folks, sometimes it might feel like a marathon to reach the place of receiving the reward of our faith. And religious tradition and the cultural mores or mores might build a wall around Jesus and all that he has abundantly provided for us and tell us there's no way in and try and supply us with some religious hogwash way out. But we can press on. I said we can press on. We can persistently proclaim. And we can pull on that anointing. Because if I don't quit, see if I don't quit. See if I don't quit. See if I don't quit, I can't fail. I want to encourage you today. When you are believing God for the fulfillment of a vision, or of a dream, or to receive the manifestation of your healing, or God's provision, and the fulfillment of God's promise in regards to your situation, I want to encourage you, take every opportunity to pull on the anointing. Always come into this place, into the presence of God, expecting a word that feeds your faith. Remember, it's through faith and patience, long-suffering, forbearance, perseverance, persistence, tenacity, determination, staying power, steadfastness, purposefulness, endurance, application, diligence, dedication, commitment, doggedness, tirelessness, stamina, intransigence, or obstinacy that we inherit the promises. That we take possession of what God has promised, and all of that is supplied by the Holy Spirit. See, if I don't quit, I can't fail. Last quote on perseverance, and this is from Paul. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 79. He says, we have this treasure in earthen vessels. Who's he talking about? The Holy Spirit. Who supplies all of the fruit and all of the gifts. We have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellence of the power may be of God and not of us. We are hard pressed on every side, boo-hoo, but not crushed. We are perplexed. Boy, are we perplexed. I could give you 10 hours of perplexed. I barely go a day without being perplexed. But not in despair. Because that tattoo reminds me, begins to do its work. Begins to create resistance. Persecuted, you know, we're not persecuted, why, you know. But not forsaken. Because I have a promise. He said, I will never, like like never, like not ever, like not even occasionally or from time to time. I will never leave you or forsake you, Sandra. Come on, that's the promise we've got. Janice, come on. If we'll just press on. Struck down, oh yes, I've been struck down a few times. I felt struck down yesterday. I went to bed last night, I said, Father, I'm expecting to wake up tomorrow, standing up straight, to go and fulfill my priestly duties. Because you haven't noticed. Struck down, but not destroyed. I didn't even know I was going to be in the Leviticus 8 this morning. I knew I was going to be there, but I didn't know it was in it. I couldn't remember. Not that way, anyway. Press on, persistently proclaim. A wee bit of blood in your ear. Just a wee bit of blood on your right thumb. Just a little bit of blood on your right big toe. Come on, somebody, I'll keep you going. Oh, I can hear. Keep pulling on that. I can hear from heaven this morning. Oh, hallelujah. And I've had my grip strengthened today. Because there's power in the blood. Hallelujah. That's it. There is power, wonder working power in the blood of the Lamb. Come on, somebody. My grip's been strengthened. Oh, the fruit and the gifts are working in perfect balance in my life and keeping me standing.
Yeah.
And persistently proclaiming. As I pull on the anointing. If you say what you see, allow the word of God. Allow the word of God to form what you see. See fulfillment. See the accomplishment of God's promise. See the manifestation of His glory. It'll keep you on track. If you say what you see, you will see what you say, and you'll keep on saying what you see until you can see what you see and everyone else can see it. Because if you, come on, let's stand up together. If you don't quit, I said, if you don't quit, you can't fail. Say this morning, if I don't quit, if I don't quit, I can't fail. If I don't quit, I can't fail. I want you to take that home with you this morning, and I want you to, whenever you're up against it, whenever you're pushing through, when there's things that you're already walking through, I want you to release these words. If I don't quit, I cannot fail. If I don't quit, I cannot fail. If I don't quit, I cannot fail. Oh, hallelujah. Father, in the name of Jesus, the mighty name, the name above every other name, the only name given amongst heaven, amongst name whereby we must be saved, must be healed, must be delivered, must be provided for, more of a shakava, must be brought through into victory. In that name we give you glory this morning. Oh, hallelujah. There is no other name. We were saying this morning, you are worthy of that name. You shall call His name Jesus, because He will. Yes, He will. Oh, yes, He absolutely will save His people from their sins and all of the effects of that sin. In Jesus' name. Let your kingdom come, and let your will be done, and let your glory be seen. In the mighty name of Jesus. Amen.